Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Soldiers for Christ. I hope you guys didn't miss the prayer service this morning. Thank you, Pastor Ben, for using your gift to help the people around the world in prayer. Great gift of anointing to be able to teach and pray. Pastor Ben has that. Mine is just like teaching. It's true, though. I always like, okay, you pray, Pastor Ben. So praise the Lord. We have Rashawn here again. We're blessed again. We're going to do a little praise and worship. I pray you sing along, you raise your hands, you praise God, and get prepared for the Word of God, which is going to be a blessing. Praise God. Go ahead.
I heard the Savior say that strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Came to heal the leper's spots and melt this heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in incomplete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who's paid my debt. He raises life up from the dead.
Amen. Man, you did that. That's my song.
That was a gift.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Jesus paid it all.
I wish I could sing. I know the words though. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Sing it, man. Sing it.
He washed it white as snow. When you can't sing, you got to whisper. That's how you get by. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. We live still?
Yes, sir.
All right. Shalom, everybody. Here's my wonderful, wonderful wife.
Hallelujah. I wasn't planning on being on this morning.
And
but I do want to pray.
She's going to pray me in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, so, Jesus. A couple things. We had a prayer this morning. Were you going to say something? Okay. We had prayer this morning, Pastor, and two things kind of dropped in my spirit as you were praying for individuals. One was marriage, and you know, the divorce papers are in process. But I tell you the truth, the more you seek after God, and when that relationship grows, your relationship with our Father, every relationship tends to work out, or either God releases you. So just trust in God, immerse yourself in His Word, and allow God to work that thing out. And the other was for the lady that was, they're trying to have a baby, and you brought up the talents, Pastor, and I love what you said, and it just is so important that I know what your heart desires, and God knows what your heart desires to have kids, but you can use that talent to be a blessing to either someone else's kid or to a foster kid if that's what your God, if God leads you that way. Don't be afraid to step that way. And it's amazing to me of how many people, when they decided to give to someone else, to another child,
they got pregnant.
They got pregnant in the process. So it's just, I just wanted to say that. It was just on my heart to say, so I hope that that blesses somebody. Hallelujah.
All right.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the prayer service, Lord. We know how important it is, dear Jesus. And Pastor Ben is so faithful to pray over each and every individual that is struggling, that sends a word, that asks for a prayer and asks for a breakthrough, dear Lord. And we just want to stand in obedience, dear Lord, to whatever we're called to do, dear Jesus. So we thank you for that service this morning, even in this closure, dear Jesus, that we continue to lift you up in glory, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Sandy, that he has been before your word to hear exactly what is important for today, that that will bless our heart and open us up spiritually, Lord, for a greater understanding of you, dear Lord. So we thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity, that he's continued to stand here as a conduit to your grace, dear Lord, and that you speak to each and every heart that is willing and ready to receive you on today, dear Lord, that we stand with spiritual ears open and our heart to receive, dear Lord. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. My wife, I want to kiss her so bad, but not on church time. Oh, no, geez, that was a great prayer. That deserved a kiss, but not on TV. That would make us PG-13. All right. Hallelujah. We are going to start off this message today by reading Proverbs chapter 8, and if I was an elegant reader, I probably would read the whole thing, because I think the whole chapter is, that's what I'm looking for, my glasses. Yeah, if I would. Because the whole chapter 8 is absolutely remarkable chapter. I must have listened to it 3 or 4 times, just sitting in my car and just thinking about the wisdom of God and how he's pleading for men to come out of ignorance, to love him, to accept what he's provided for them, you know. And basically, chapter 8 of Proverbs is wisdom calling out to mankind to abandon stupidity, to abandon ignorance, and to save themselves from what's coming. Because what the Lord showed me or told me was great evil is coming upon the world, and we are at the door of it, okay? I mean, we're not talking about, you know, 10 years, 1,000 years being away and all that. We're like, oh, in the by and by, the Lord's gonna come. We're talking about the world is at the door of this great evil that's about to engulf the whole world. And if man is not willing to come out of their ignorance, come out of their pride, come out of their inability to believe God and believe God's word, the suffering that they're going to experience is going to be so horrifying that many people will just die of heart attacks because they've never seen things as bad as they're going to be. I sent to Elena last night the video of a young lady who was in the Mormon church. And when that earthquake happened in the Mormon church and I received the information that they had rescued children and they were underneath the Mormon church, and that earthquake, well, not an earthquake, but an explosion, destroying the underground basements there. And I'm telling you the information I received. And he said, it's happened the same way in other places. After they get the children out, they blow up the bunkers. And so I kept that in mind. And she asked me for some information about that in Utah. And the young lady doing the testimony just talked about her time growing up in the Mormon church and what's underneath the Mormon the Mormon temple, and the things and the sacrifices to Satan that go on underneath the Mormon temple that were going on. So she kind of solidified what my friend in Japan had already said, was that they had to get rid of it because there was a lot going on underneath there and they had to free children. So I say that only to say this: you don't really know or understand the depths of evil that's in this world because they're hiding it from you and they're trying to do it undercover, but it's getting exposed, okay?
Amen.
But that's not the thing. The thing what I want to tell you is that there is a great evil coming on the world, and God is calling people to repent and give their lives back to Jesus Christ, amen. Okay? Let me read this, but I'm only going to read toward the end. And I wish I was an elegant reader that you could sit here and hear me read the whole thing and you're just fascinated, but that's not me. So I'm going to keep it short. And
where are you reading from?
I'm going to read chapter 8, verse 30. And wisdom is just basically saying, I was with God at the foundation of creation. I've been there all along, okay? Can I say something before we do this, though? Hebrew is a male-female generated language, okay? Everything's male or female, okay? So when a writer writes, he's going to write it in male or female because the words are either male, like a car,
right.
Is Mikonit, right? Is female, you know? But you know, yeah, there are things that are male. I mean, a glass can be male in Hebrew, but a cup can be female, you know. So it's like it's a generated off of male and female generated language, okay? So therefore, when he's talking about wisdom and she was there's no such thing as a female goddess named wisdom, okay? Because I hear people going, oh yeah, you know, the goddess wisdom is, no, there's no goddess wisdom. That's just the language of Hebrew, that it's kama is wisdom, and kakama is wisdom, and here he's using the female implication of wisdom, okay? So there's no female goddess of wisdom, all right? I have to say that before somebody's gonna read this and they're gonna go, oh, she was there. No, it wasn't she. Wisdom is God, okay? And you'll see if you read the whole chapter, wisdom is speaking everything into existence. And who spoke everything into existence? God, Jesus, the Word, right? Okay, so don't separate it and make yourself a whole female God, amen. Okay? That's just to keep you wise. Okay, so it says, then I was the craftsman at his side, wisdom says. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. And when he says keep my ways, keep my doctrine, he's saying blessed is the person that keeps his doctrine. Okay? Listen to my instructions and be wise and do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at the door, waiting at my doorway, for whosoever finds me finds life. You hear that? So wisdom is saying, whosoever finds God finds life and receives favor from God. So if you find Christ, he says you have found life and you will receive favor from God. But whosoever fails to find me harms himself. And all who hate me love death. Yeah. So wisdom is telling you, look, if you find it and you walk in the way of righteousness, you can be prosperous in this world. You can be blessed in this world. You will find life in this world if you find wisdom and walk in his ways, okay? In the ways of wisdom, the way, and I'll say walk in her ways because I've already educated you, and walk in her ways so that you're not ignorant of the salvation plan, okay? Because it took wisdom spoken from the beginning of time that God already had a salvation plan ready for mankind when he spoke, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va et haaretz. In that one sentence is the cross, is the thorns, is Christ on the tree. In one sentence is the first fruit. Everything God spoke into the existence. Okay, if you were listening last week, the story about the 153 fish and the rapture and salvation was already solidified in the first 12 verses of Genesis. So wisdom was speaking to the world that salvation has already been planned for you. But men love ignorance. And God's saying, come out of your ignorance, because there is evil coming upon the world very soon. You guys think that the pandemic is a problem. If the church leaves and you're not gone, you are in trouble. Amen. Now, I say that to say this. I've had a few people say, I'm worried that I'm not going to make it, Pastor. And I'm like, why? One person said, well, I'm just hoping to make it through the tribulation and not take the mark. And I'm like, that's a weak goal. Like, who thrives to be in last place, you know? So I said, I haven't overcome smoking. And I'm like, are you repenting? Are you praying about it? Yeah. Well, okay. Well, what's the problem then? Are you reading your word? Are you staying in Christ? Yes. Okay. Well, if you're in the word and you're in Christ, I mean, and you're asking and you're praying for deliverance, aren't you in process of righteousness? Yes. Aren't you in the process?
Yes.
Okay. So understanding that there are many people that are out there that are afraid they're not going to make the rapture because they don't feel they're perfect. And being perfected in Christ is not your goal. I want you to know that, because if you're saying, I'm going to be, once I'm perfected in Christ, then I've arrived, and then I'll know I'll be in the rapture. You're being foolish, okay? Perfection, be ye holy, for I am holy. And God says, be ye perfect as I am perfect, right? Perfection is only going to come when you are with Christ, when he brings you up, okay? So don't think to yourself, you know, because some of us have, let me explain this to you and what God told me long time ago, and everybody at S4C knows this. God showed me that there are always three voices speaking to you, okay? Your job, Sandy, is to determine which one is not me, okay? So if it's you, don't listen. If it's a demon, don't listen. If it's my spirit, follow that, okay? And so, since we live in a spirit realm, we are living among angels, and we're living among demons, and we're living among human beings. Sometimes humans will try to give you advice based on their human feelings. Don't listen. You understand? You want to listen to the Spirit of God as he leads you, okay? And so there are spirits that will tell you, I don't think you're going to make it. You ain't going to make it. Know how I know you're not going to make it? Because, you know, look, you haven't even overcome drinking yet. I saw you had a drink with your friends. Well, I'm praying about that, you know, but I did make it out of AA and I only had one glass of wine. But that demonic spirit is not concerned with the fact of how far you've come in your walk. That demonic spirit is only trying to set up fear in you so that you think that you're not worthy of rapture, okay? So what the Lord was telling me was this: the process is perfection. Arriving has never been holiness. Once you get here, yes, you're holy. But there, you thinking that you arrived does not constitute holiness. Because even there, if you think you've come a long way and you're not doing the big sins anymore, you're not perfected yet. You're still struggling with things that are in the earth, okay? And since you're in your flesh, the battle continues until you get here, okay? And I think it's Corinthians 13 that says, but when you're with me, say, you will be as I am, okay? So once you get there, then you'll be in your resurrected body, and then you'll know what perfection and holiness is. But right now, you're going through what the Bible calls a sanctification process, okay? And if we don't judge each other, okay, based on our processes, okay? Because you come in here, I can judge you based on your process. Because I think, wow, she just got saved 2 weeks ago, and I heard her use a curse word in the parking lot. She's not really saved. Because I want to be her judge. I don't want to love my brother and sister and encourage them in Christ. You can go tell her in private, hey, you know, using profanity, God doesn't really, you know, agree with that. And then she'll listen to you and she'll get wiser. But for you to just say, well, I just don't think she's one of us. It's just your snotty little attitude that you've come so far in Christ.
So holy.
And I'm guilty of it because I'm around people that use profanity and I just got to get out of the room. It's like, there's too much profanity here. You know? And I'm so sophisticated now that I got to get out of the room when I used to be the main guy cursing, right? So I forget where I came from and now I become this holy, this super holy guy. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Because the Lord says, I don't want anybody fearing. Fear is not of me.
Amen.
Okay? Respect. Respecting God is something you have to have. And sometimes in English, we write that out as fear. But that is a reverent respect for God. Okay? Like I feared my mother. I had a reverent respect for her. Okay? Yes, yes. I'm not going to say anything crazy. That's my mother. I have a reverent respect for her. You understand? So, in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to be at verse 9, it said, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. His whole prayer was about me. Look how good I'm doing, Lord. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this scum tax collector next to me. You know, he might as well said that, right? But he says, even like this tax collector who's praying next to me. How dare he even be here? Or, you know, he said, I fast twice a week. I give a tithe of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. We get that?
Yeah.
So we don't want to get so strong in our spiritual walk that we can go to God and even tell him how holy we are. You know what I mean? The things I don't do anymore, Lord, I've really arrived, right? And God knows you haven't arrived, right? So, understand this. There is a word in the scripture, and that word that is in the scripture is called sanctification. Okay? Sanctification is a verb. You know what a verb is? It's an action word. Okay? That means that it is something that is in process and moving. Okay? So everyone is in a sanctification process, and you are in this process on your way to becoming what? Holy.
Yes.
Okay? Now, as we look at the word on the board, I don't know if Pastor Ben, if you can look at that word and you can come back to me after you show it. Hagamosis, and I don't speak Greek, but sanctification means consecrate, purification, and holiness, okay? Consecrate means I have taken you out of the world as my very own. I've consecrated you, okay? I have let the world know that you are mine. You are now justified in my sight, okay? But I didn't bring you out of the world and justify you, because the other word for hagaosmos, sanctification, is not just consecration, taking you out, purification, which now means that I'm going to purify you. And then the other word sanctification means is holiness. So it gives it in those orders. I'm going to consecrate you. I'm going to purify you. And then I'm going to bring you in and you're going to be holy. Okay? So without the process, you can never get to holiness. Okay? So this is the way the Lord wanted me to explain it to you. Purification means that you have not quite yet been purified. That means you're not pure. If you have to go through a purification system, what does that mean? You're not pure. So purification is a part of sanctification. Who's trying to purify you? God, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So God showed it to me this way this morning. If they want to purify water, they go to the lake and they get the they take the water out of the lake. Now that water is in a bucket. That water has been consecrated. What does it mean? It's been set apart. This water is now holy to me. This is my water that I'm going to work on. Okay? I take that water to my purification system, which is the Holy Spirit. Yes. I pour that water into the purification system, and it goes through a process. It takes out the dirt, the germs, the bacteria, and it cleans the water, right? Yes. Now, the problem with us is we can fight the purification system. Mm. The water doesn't fight the purification system. Human beings, God made us with wisdom. We're so smart, you know, and I say that derogatory because we're so smart that we can fight the purification system because we don't want to be holy. Yeah. You understand?
Amen.
Or we want to be saved, but I didn't want to be holy.
Right.
Because the purification system kind of hurts.
Yeah.
And I can't do the things I want to do and be purified. Ooh. You understand? So you can't hate the purification system. Purification is part of sanctification. Okay? So there is a systematic way of being purified, and God had it in the Old Testament, and God has it in the New Testament. We'll get to that in a minute.
Amen.
Okay. Now, for the message of the cross is foolishness in us. Let me see. I put this scripture here down, and I did not write where I got it. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved or being made or being made or being saved, made it. It is the power of God. So for some, the cross is foolishness, but for us, for those who are is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Okay, so we're being saved, and it says for us who are being saved. Wait a minute, I thought if you get saved, you're just saved.
And always.
You're not. Once you come to Christ, you're not. Oh, I'm saved. What you're saying is, I've been sanctified. I've been consecrated. I've been pulled out of the world. I've been called God's very own. That makes me saved. Right now, I'm going through a purification system so that I can be eligible for the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, the process of purification makes you holy because you've been chosen by God. You understand? I'm trying to.
Pastor, you got it.
Please don't judge yourself while you're in process.
Amen. My God.
Because if you judge yourself while you're in process, you might deem yourself not worthy of the process. And you may turn back to the world. And then now once you've turned back to the world, you're either backslidden or you're falling away. And you say to yourself, Christianity is not for me because I couldn't do the purification system. Endure the purification. You understand? Because it's taking you somewhere. And if the rapture should happen in the middle of the purification system, and God said, if it's an honest process, okay? Mm-hmm. Because some people think they found a loophole.
Right.
I can just sin and ask for forgiveness. I can just sin, ask for forgiveness, right? That ain't gonna work. You know why? Because God sees everything. You cannot lie to God, okay? And at the risk of losing time, we were at a job, and some girls had went to a restaurant, okay? And they said, hey, we're going to this restaurant. I was like, okay, I hope y'all get back in time. That's, you know, pretty, you know, and sometimes you have to wait. No, we'll be back on time. They go to the restaurant, and they come back to the office 30 minutes late. And I'm the manager, but the VP is standing there too. And he says, you guys back 30 minutes late from lunch? What happened? So the young lady says, oh, we were at the restaurant and we looked up at the clock and we said, ma'am, is it 1:30? And she said, I forgot that clock is 30 minutes off. So we knew right away that the clock was wrong. So we got in the car and we came back. So they didn't expect the VP to call the restaurant and ask them concerning the clock. So he called and he says, do you have a clock in your dining area? And was it wrong? Because I had some young ladies there that came back late. She said, we've never had a clock in our dining room. We keep one in the kitchen, and that's so the servers and the cookers can see it.
Ooh, ooh.
So he went to him and he said, you know what? I was going to dock you an hour for coming back 30 minutes late. But now I'm going to fire you for lying. So I want you to understand, there is a scripture in the Bible that says, God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because God is like that VP. He's already investigated the matter, and he knows whether you're lying or not. You can't say, I'm going to continue in sin because I can ask forgiveness, okay? Because you're playing this game and you're saying, watch me mock God. I found a loophole. And God says, I'm not mocked. So honest process is perfection.
Wow.
Honest process,
yeah,
is perfection. Yeah. Not just process. You going through the motions, but you're not really trying. That's not honesty. Mm. Honesty is I'm doing the best. I'm bringing it to you.
Yeah.
I'm fighting against sin.
Yeah.
And God says that process is perfection.
Yeah.
That's why David, God says, you know, David was a perfect man.
Yeah.
It's not like he forgot David's sins. It's like God has a memory problem. So maybe he'll forget I did a few things, right? No, he remembers.
Yeah.
But the process, since you stayed in line with the process,
yeah,
God deemed you righteous.
Yeah.
And he said David was a perfect man.
He did.
Okay. You're talking about murder.
Yeah.
And God said, no, he's perfect. Why? Because of the repentance and the, yeah, sincerity in walking with God. God said he's still perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So make sure that your process is honest. Okay.
Yes.
Be, man, talking about, I'm going to my boyfriend's house and we just going to watch a movie. And you done packed a bag.
Yeah.
It got a 90 in it from Victoria's Secret. You know, and you're like, I didn't go over there to sin. But I knew I need something to sleep in. Don't lie to God, okay? Because he might call the manager. So let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this. But of him are ye in Christ, who are of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Okay? So righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, even what? Your sanctification. So God said his will is your sanctification. And sanctification is what type of word? Is it a noun or what?
Verb.
It's a verb. So God's will is that you, your process of purification starts and it finishes, okay? And he says that ye should abstain from fornication. See, to abstain from fornication means that you are doing what? You are cooperating with the purification process.
Yeah.
If you don't cooperate with the purification process, then you're fighting against your own self. You understand?
Yes.
That, and it says that everyone, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So he's saying what? What is he saying? What is God saying? God says, oh, well, I know you have no desires, sinful desires. No, he's telling you to fight. Get in the fight, okay? Fight against sin. Fight against fornication, because it's not going to help your purification process. You understand? And sin causes a lot of other problems. So I'm telling you, as I already have taken you out of the water and I've got you in the purification system, don't fight against the purification, because I'm trying to get you from there to the kingdom, okay? So now the Lord is telling us, look, these certain sins, don't let them be a part of your life, because they're fighting against who? You, okay? Because God is trying to get you there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And right here, the Lord wants me to make sure that you understand this, because we are going to, let's read this first, then I'll go back to the other thing, okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 through 16. You guys with me? All right, let's see. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. For those who have been trained by it, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level the path of your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be what? The same word. I can't see it. You said, Pastor Ben, to be holy or sanctified, okay? Because it says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So without sanctification and holiness, no one will see the Lord. So, because God is saying, without it, you will not see God. Okay? See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. His inheritance rights as the oldest son. So what is God comparing Esau to? Esau, for an opportunity to have a meal, sold millions of dollars. He gave away millions of dollars of inheritance because of his fleshly desire at the time. He said, I'll sell my inheritance rights. So you accept it. He says, I've gone here and I'm building you a mansion. You have eternal life. Go through the sanctification. I'll see you here. And while you're going through the sanctification for a moment to satisfy your flesh, you sell your inheritance rights. Okay? And God is saying, no, purify yourself from the world, right? Because without sanctification, you will not see God. He's not talking to non-believers here. He's talking to believers about doing what? Fighting against sin, okay? Honest fighting against sin, okay? Making your process honest, okay? Here we go. So now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6. And here it says, in verse 4, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of His coming, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Now, listen to this. Process in perfection. Process is perfection if your process is in honesty, right? Quitting is falling away. Backsliding is Satan trying to get you in position to fall away. Because he doesn't want to just get you caught in sin. You know what I mean? There was one girl I was witnessing to, and she was doing great. And then she met a guy, and he had his own place, and why don't you move in with me? And oh, I'm in love. Before you know, she's living with him, and now the guy's cursing at her. And then, so I'm like, but she said, I can't move out because I don't have enough money to get my own place, and I don't want to move back with my mom. I'm like, girl, you are in a bad backslidden position, right? Have you repented of what you've done and the situation you're in? He said, I'm repenting all the time now. She said, but I know that we're in fornication, and I know I'm living with somebody, and I'm not married, and I want to move, and I'm praying about it. And I'm like, wow, she's in a backslidden state. But she's praying about it. She's like, Lord, if you get me out of this one, okay? Finally, she was talking to somebody at the job, and they said, hey, you know, I have a guest house in my back. You can move in there right now and just pay the rent at the end of the month. So she didn't hesitate. She's like, I got all my stuff, and I moved today, right? That showed that she was honest about getting out of sin. You understand? So I'm saying that Satan tries to get us to backslide, but he wants to get us to backslide and get us in position where we can't get back in line with God, because if we get back in line with God, we get back into the purification process and the sanctification, and we're on our way to the kingdom. You understand?
Amen.
We have to know how this works, because Satan is always trying to destroy us. He would love for you to quit.
Yes.
That's the whole reason for backsliding. I want a backslidden position because now that you're in this position, you can quit, because you can say, you know what? I'm tired of having to repent for not being with somebody I love. If I love him, it should be good enough for God. You have abandoned wisdom.
Right.
Because God is not going to say, well, she's in love, so we just won't call it fornication anymore. Is everybody in agreement up here in heaven? And then we all go by your new standard, right? He's not going to change his standard, right? I know Yahweh Lo Shaniti. I am God, and I do not change, okay? So God is not going to change for you. But what he will do is he's got the gate open for you to do what? Repent. And that gate stays open. Because if you're in backslidden position, the scripture in 1 John is not going to change. Let's go to 1 John, the epistle of John. 1, and we're going to be in chapter 1. And if I not be asking the Lord. Okay, now watch this. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9. And what does it say? It says, let's read this whole thing first. Let's start from verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from unholiness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. So, we have this door called what? Repentance. I thank God for mothers in the church, because a mother convinced me that repentance is a gift.
Amen.
Don't ever give it away.
Amen.
It's a gift. She said, this is how she put it. There are angels in hell who wish they had your gift. Said they tried to repent.
They did.
They don't have a savior. They don't have an atonement. They have nothing. They have I'm sorry and torment and intolerance. Says they don't have what you have. Don't you ever abandon repentance. Sometimes I don't feel like I mean it. I don't care if you don't feel like you mean it. Keep repenting till you mean it. You know what I mean? But she said, don't you ever abandon repentance. Because that's how I became at one point in my life to say, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Because I was tired of repenting. I was tired of struggling against sin. Nobody else is struggling with sin. If other people, they have a girlfriend, they want to move in, they can do it. You know, they can go to a club, they can drink, they can do whatever they want. But because I'm a Christian, everybody's making fun of me and I can't do what I want to do. I'm just going to call myself not a Christian anymore and live my life. That was my attitude. Okay? I took on that attitude in college. Because I was tired of people saying, oh, he's a Christian, he can't go. He's a Christian, he don't do this, right? So that was the worst year of my life. Okay, that was injuries, that was everything. God was like, I can't bless you while you're in that state, right? But I was convinced by Satan that Christianity wasn't for me because I hadn't stopped making mistakes. And so therefore, I was willing to walk away from it. I was walking away from my gift of repentance. Keep fighting. We are in this fighting against sin, okay? You're not in this like to fall into sin and to relax and be in sin. If you're that, you're lying to yourself, okay? But you are in this to fight against sin. Okay? And while you're fighting against sin, you know what you're doing? You're in process of purification. Okay? Because you might not overcome smoking before the rapture.
Yeah.
But you might be on your knees saying, Lord, I messed up today. I wish I could just be done with this. Hit me with some type of healing. You know? You could still be in repentance.
Yeah.
And asking God to deliver you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now you're in relationship because you're not doing things and just walking around God as if you haven't done anything. You're using your gift of repentance to stay in relationship.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of once saved, always saved, because they figure I'm once saved, always saved. I can do drugs. I can go out. I can do whatever I want because I got saved when I was 15, right? And that is the lie that Satan wants. That's the doctrine of the Nicolaitan. Keep sinning, because the more you sin, the more grace you get.
Woo! That's crazy.
And so God says this is not true, because if you continue to walk according to the flesh, you will thanatos. And thanatos is the word death that means enter into torment. Okay? So you can't continue, but if you're fighting and you're in the process, don't let demons beat you down and tell you that you're not going to make it because you're not completely purified yet. okay? Because that's why I tell you guys my stories. That's why I tell you, like, you know, lady cut me off and I'm following her because, like, as if I'm some thug and I'm going to beat her. I didn't know it was a lady. I thought it was a guy that gave me the your number one finger, you know? But in my anger, I'm following the person like a dummy. What if the person got a gun? But I'm following, and the Holy Spirit's like, turn the car around. What you doing? You stupid. Don't do this. And I'm like, I just want to talk to him. After the little lady gets out of the car and I repent, Lord, I should have listened to you. I don't know. I just lost it. I went back to dumb Sandy. You know what I mean? And so I'm just saying, look, I tell you when I do something dumb because I don't want you to think I've arrived. I haven't arrived. Amen. Okay? But what that mother taught me is I will never abandon repentance. I hit my knees. I said, Lord, I was being real dumb. That wasn't like you. Please forgive me in Jesus' name. Keep me in the purification process. Let's go. Let's get to the kingdom. Okay? Now, in my beautiful 10 minutes, I'm going to explain to you why the Lord is telling you great evil is coming upon the world. Great evil is coming upon the world, but God is telling you to do what? Stay in the purification process and you are perfect. You are not going to miss the rapture because you're struggling. You're going to miss the rapture when you stop repenting and start playing games with God. Okay? So now I want you to go to Luke chapter 17. And we're almost done here, Pastor Ben. Only two more, and this is what I want to talk about. This is why the Lord is saying, because I listened to another guy this week, and he had a guest on, and this guy was supposed to be a Hebrew scholar, and he's wrote many books. And he's like, well, you know, the church is not going to leave until after the rapture, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how dumb. I was like, I wanted to get on there and start writing, you know. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, I thought you were smart and you let this guy on your show and he's a complete nitwit. That's a good word. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. We're in Luke, right? And we're in chapter 17. And it says, truth that here to not running after. Okay, it says, just as in verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will be in the days of the Son of Man. People will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day that Lot left Sodom. Mm. So what did Lot have to do first? Leave. Before the destruction? Leave. Okay. He had to leave Sodom. Okay. Okay. And it says, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. But before the destruction could come on Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the same word that is used in Romans chapter 11. It says, leave here. Some of your Bibles might even say the day Lot went out. Okay? But it's the same word that is used in Romans chapter 11. And that word is askomachi, which means to travel and leave and enter into another city, right? So this word doesn't just mean that he left. He said he had to leave and travel and enter another city, and then the destruction came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the same word that's in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And what does Romans chapter 11, verse 25 say? It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. That's English. Yeah. The word is askomahiki, right? which means what? To travel, to leave, and to enter into another city. Okay? So the same thing that is written about Lot before the destruction is the same word he's writing here about the Gentiles that we have to leave before the tribulation begins. Okay? Not that the whole Bible doesn't tell you that the church doesn't experience tribulation, but I just wanted to give you two more so that I can send it to this guy and go, come on, man, don't just let anybody on your show say anything, because if it's not in line with the word of God, that makes him a false prophet because he's not speaking what God speaks. And God is saying the Gentiles have to be taken out, okay? They have to leave the same way Lot. Why would he use the same word as that was with Lot as the same word as he uses here for come in? What did he say? They're all going to come into the knowledge of Jesus? No, that's not the Greek word. That's why God says to study to show thyself approved, not just read, okay? Because on the day Lot went out, no, he is komiki. He left that where he was and traveled and went into another city. Then he uses the same word here, until the fullness of the Gentiles, as komahi, travel and leave and enter into the great Zion in heaven, then the tribulation will begin, okay? So it's all the same, and God is saying great evil is about to come upon the world, but it's not coming on people who love God and are still struggling with sin. It comes on people who say they love God, okay, and are not struggling with sin because they feel like they're once saved, they're always saved. Or it comes against people who say, I'm a Christian and I can sin as much as I want, okay? Then you're lukewarm. Then you're one of the five virgins because you're doing what? You're doing something that you know better to do, but you feel like you're going to be okay and you're fine, okay? Yeah, yeah. And God has said, no, you're not fine in sin. Repent and always get back in the purification process. You don't take time to repent. You repent when you know you're wrong. You understand? But it's coming. I mean, we're in this pandemic and we're in this whole thing and the whole world sees, and from every person that I'm communicating with, the fight is on, okay? You got two big bullies and neither one of them are willing to back down. If Trump backs down, then all they're going to do is implement vaccines, chips, and destruction, okay? Because this was their plan in the first place. The only thing slowing it down is that guy with gray hair in the White House who is like holding all of this back because he's fighting for righteousness, right? So, he put out a tweet. He said he's going to have painted in Hollywood, because you know they had painted in front of the Trump Tower, Black Lives Matters in front of the Trump Tower. They had it painted on the street. So he's like, we can paint on the street now? So now he wants to have somebody paint Babies Lives Matters on Hollywood Boulevard.
Wow.
And he's not talking about just abortions. He's talking about what's going on there, right? So I'm telling you, this is a battle that's going on. It's over human beings, right? And so God is about to take his church out. Evil will come in, but the church will be gone. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.